CliffCentral.com.
Please note that the views expressed and the advice provided in this show are for general advice and entertainment purposes only. Nothing stated should be treated as a substitute for your own independent legal advice based on your own specific facts and objectives. Therefore, the presenter and CliffCentral.com accept no liability of any nature whatsoever, either expressed or implied.
Law, like you've never heard it before. The Laws of Life. With Gary Hertzberg on CliffCentral.com.
I'm Gary Hertzberg, and this is The Laws of Life on CliffCentral.com. Alongside me today, as usual, Lionel Laughing Makoko Tlela. Welcome, Lionel.
Thank you very much, Gary, and good afternoon to our listeners and to everybody who's streaming.
Today we are with two guests. They were driving along on holiday in their car, and the next thing, a huge concrete block was thrown through their windshield from a bridge. And they're both convinced that someone tried to kill them. Frightening story. And it's holiday time, and this happened in that in Port Shepstone area. Where was
yeah,
it?
Yeah, just down Scottsboro on the south coast.
So we don't want to frighten you too much, but we have in studio Wayne Champion and his now wife, Marina. They were engaged at the time. Before we let them tell us what happened, our email address, law@cliffcentral.com, our Facebook page, The Laws of Life with Gary Hertzberg, and our Twitter handle lines.
It's at Hertzlaw, H-E-R-T-Z-L-A-W. And if you can actually like our page, tell us what you want us to talk about. Tell us what your feedback is in relation to the program. We welcome each and every comment.
Wayne Champion is one of our guests. He holds a BCom degree in economics and business finance from University of Wits, and has an MBA from the University of Pretoria. Gibbs, what's that got to do with anything? Nothing, but it shows that we have a very smart guest.
I'm not sure about that.
Marina is you're a mommy right now of an 8-month.
I'm now back at full-time work.
Oh, yes, are you?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Good, okay. Mm. What do you do, if may I ask?
Yeah, well, I actually, met at Gibbs, we both did our MBA together. Yeah.
Oh, really? So, okay.
It's actually funny. Yeah. Most people get separated when they do the MBA. And some people get married when they
Lionel's
do
Lionel's also an MBA. I haven't seen it, but...
you'll see it.
Okay. Excellent.
When you're ready.
Yeah. Okay, so Wayne, you were on holiday, the two of you, and tell us what happened.
Well, we're actually on holiday with the whole family. All of us went down to Sinsa. Marina's got two kids. Big family holiday, you know, spent the time there after quite a rough year, you know, finished our MBAs, both of us, and in research, you know, like a month before, you know, which can, you know.
Take its toll.
It does take its toll, yeah. So we were all really looking forward to the holiday. Had a lovely time in Sinsa, and then we, you know, did a bit of a road trip through the Transkei. We stayed in Port Edward, just the four of us, for Christmas. The kids were going to fly down to see their dad in Bushman, so we drove out to Yashaka to drop the kids off, and for me it was very strange because watching the kids kind of leave the airport, you know, although they're not my kids, you know, they've entered my world, you know, spending a whole month with them on holiday, feeling like very like empty, you know. So it was kind of like an empty space leaving the airport. Marina and I were just, you know, actually just trying to, you know, pass some time. So, you know, we went to Yashaka Marine World and just actually got involved in meaningless activities, you know, just to pass the time. We decided that we won't eat dinner in Durban because it's too far to drive all the way back to Port Edward at night, you know. So we thought, well, let's at least make some headway back. And decided to stop in Scottsboro. We found a nice little restaurant. It was very busy, but it was just, you know, it was great. You know, it was noisy, and it's probably exactly what we needed at that time, you know. Had a very sort of sober dinner. You know, we weren't drinking or anything. It was just really just to get out of our own headspace. I can't remember the time. You know, we finished dinner at about, you know, 9:15, got in the car and we were driving home. And it was very funny, you know, when you have a strange fight with your partner about something so silly. And I think it was how much we wash towels.
It was the most mundane thing on the planet.
This is what MBAs talk about.
Exactly.
To understand
this. These are the highly intellectual conversations that take place.
Okay, yeah. sorry to interrupt you, but in future, please download podcasts from Cliff Central.
To keep ourselves occupied as opposed to.
I've done
these
some
wonderful
great shows
domestic
in 3 years.
Interactions.
Yeah, thank you. Please listen to them. Sorry about.
So, you know, it was like, you know, we wash too many towels. You know, we don't hang them up or something.
And it was weirdly tense. Yeah. It was tense.
Yeah, and then I don't think any of us had the energy to actually just continue the argument. So, I sort of, you know, sat back in my chair, but a little bit to the right, you know, just to kind of, I don't know, make some distance between me. You know,
it's true.
And you know, it was, I don't know, maybe about 15 seconds later, I just picture this brick in front of the windscreen, and there was an almighty bang as it came through the windscreen. And it hit me on my left arm and you know, sort of left shoulder.
Was it a brick or like a concrete block?
No, it's one of those pavers.
Those concrete block bricks.
Yeah, it's a concrete paver. Yeah, it's all jagged around the sides.
Yeah, I know that. Oh my word!
It's terribly heavy. You won't. If you pick it up, you'll be surprised how heavy it is. And that came through the window.
Did you see it coming, or did it just all? You just saw it through hitting the windscreen.
Yeah. I mean, look. If I say I saw it coming, I'll probably be lying, but I saw it as it hit the front windscreen because there was no time to react. Mm. And it hit me with this enormous bang. And at that instant, I knew exactly what had happened. I knew that it was a brick coming through the window. I knew that there was probably a potential hijacking attempt, or, you know, there were people waiting on the side for you to pull over or something. So,
sorry, did you know it came from above or from the side of the road? Did you know where it came from?
No, look, it definitely came from above the road because, I mean, it came through the front windscreen. So, you know, and we had gone under the bridge. I do remember actually looking at the bridge and, you know, kind of not consciously looking at it, but, you know, you do look at it.
Marina was pregnant with your child at the time.
Mm. Yeah, I think she was 6 months pregnant.
Yeah.
That's frightening.
It was incredibly frightening, you know.
It could have hit you on the head for the same price and could have killed you. Fortunately, it fell on your arm.
Yeah, I mean, it could have missed me completely as well if you look at the other side of the equation.
Well, if you hadn't moved away from Marina and hadn't fought, it would have hit the gear lever.
Instead of the tension being cut by a knife, it was blown apart.
Yeah, look, I mean, you can't torture yourself with permutations of events that could have happened. Mm. You know, the fact is it came through the window and hit me on the left arm, and there was no other combination of events that happened. So if I sit here and think about the possibilities that could be, I would be in permanent stress. I would be in a permanent state.
Yeah, isn't it amazing how we, you know, why me kind of thing? People think there are a million cars or thousands of cars going under that bridge. Why did it have to be you? Mm. It's like anything, you know, why anything should be you. Why you should have a car crash. And I guess these things are what in the in the stars. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I often think about the other person on the other end of the brick. You know what you know. We know what brought us there. You know, you wonder what brought that what brought that person to that point.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I don't believe it was a targeted crime. I think it could be anyone that driving down the road who just happened to be there at that particular time. You know, I don't feel targeted or, you know, I just get cross because I wonder why, you know, someone would actually want to do that. And that's why, I wrote that story on Facebook because I actually want people to know that these type of events actually can tear people apart. You know, it can actually come straight to your family and take, you know, and devastate your entire life.
What happened? It hit your arm. Were you able to continue driving or did you have to pull over or what happened?
Well, I mean, you know, they talk about fight or flight, you know, and your instincts and that. And I think instincts just kicked in. I mean, I knew exactly what happened. The mission was clear. It was to get out of danger. I knew that if I stopped my car, there would be trouble. So I carried on driving for 9 minutes, and
losing blood all along the way.
Yeah, I mean, look, I mean, I was bleeding, but I didn't feel like I was going to, you know, it wasn't gushing blood. But I was acutely aware of the time, acutely aware of the speed I was doing. You know, the rain coming through the window, it was drizzling at the time. Marina next to me was, you know, completely frantic.
Yeah,
she thought I'd been shot, and she kept on saying, like, you've been shot. And eventually I had to almost kind of shout and you know, shout at her to kind of get her out of the that space of, you know, where she just wanted to kind of help me. But I'm saying, like, just leave me alone because I actually just need to drive. And then, you know, getting her to find the hospital, you know, that, I mean, you know, you're panicking, you know, and things are going on in the car. So I drove for 9 minutes, you know, 9 minutes, which doesn't seem long, but let me tell you, start counting 9 minutes. Yeah. That's extremely long.
Yeah.
And eventually I pulled over and I said, I'm sorry, I can't drive anymore. And then we changed seats and Marina drove to the hospital.
Did you know? Did you have a GPS? Or?
Well, I looked up on the phone to see the closest hospital. I saw that there was a kind of government hospital, but I was actually a bit worried about going to a government hospital. So I looked for a private hospital. The only one along that coastline is in Margate. And the sound of that brick, the sound of that explosion. That's why I think I thought it was a gunshot, because it is so loud. It's the loudest thing you'll ever hear. It kind of bursts your eardrums almost. And then the continued roar, of not having a windshield. And you're driving. It's an incredible sound. Yeah. So we found the hospital. I remember it said 34 minutes. Yeah, and we swapped sides. I could see that Wayne was bleeding on his forearm, but I didn't realize that he had this kind of massive gaping wound on the top of his arm. And that was the one that I think really was bleeding badly.
Do you think? I'm sorry. We'll come back to the hospital issue. Do you think that there are some drivers that would have stopped and would have said, "I want to know who did this"? Or is it something that is at night? It was at night. It's not something that a rational person would do.
Well, I mean, I think rationality disappears, you know, in trauma, and sort of your instinct kicks in. But I'm not sure if people would actually willingly stop. I don't know if sometimes you're forced to stop because you're injured too badly, or you know, you may make a sudden movement in the car and roll your car. You know, it just happens to carry on driving straight.
I suppose you don't know how bad it is, and there could be more that they're going to throw. They could have anything. You know, you don't know who it is.
Yeah.
That's the frightening part. Did the thought cross your mind that it was someone gunning for you, if I may use that term, personally, someone that maybe had nothing against you personally?
Not at all. I remember when the brick came through the window, you know, I was angry. Eh? I was very angry. I was shouting.
Why do they do these things?
Yeah, I was angry because, you know, it felt like my personal space had been, you know, someone had come into my personal space, pierced the veil, you know, which made me very cross. But I knew that, I was on the back foot. You know, you don't go out and try and solve the problem there. You know, you just escape. You know, this isn't the time to try and get some kind of retribution at all, not at all.
This is not unique to South Africa, you know that.
Yes, no, I do know that.
But there's one incident that I read about. It's quite an interesting one. I'm just trying to find it in my notes here that Benji helped me with. Three Durban teenagers who had thrown stones or bricks or whatever it was from a bridge a few years ago were convicted of murder. In KZN, and the father of one of the kids said that they were told to throw stones by tow truck drivers. Isn't that interesting?
Wow.
So they paid if they can smash and damage the cars, and the tow truck drivers are sent out, and there's lots of money to be made.
Wow.
That's a possibility. Well, that's what the father of these boys said.
That's truly
terrifying.
That's
a possibility, isn't it?
That really is.
I mean, otherwise, is there political motivation? Is it just schoolboy stupidity? What is it? Who's doing that?
I just think it's abject poverty. You know, people living, you know, below the line. You know, they're watching these fancy cars drive up and down that road. You know.
But what were they attempting to do? Is to immobilize the car and get the car?
Take yourself. I don't think they're after the car. I mean, it's a sophisticated car. I mean, you know, to hijack those type of cars nowadays is quite tricky. You know, you need a sophisticated you know, orchestrated event to hijack, you know, cars nowadays. I think they just want your cell phone and your wallet and the contents of the car.
It's as small as that.
I honestly think so. Take the watch off your arm and, you know, try and sell it for whatever they can. I can't think of anything else. I don't think they do it for fun. I don't think they throw a brick through the window to have a laugh. I think they do it for a particular purpose.
There's a saying, they say that, I think it's in the USA, people get rocked, they call it. They throw rocks and stones at locomotives, at trains, for fun, kids.
Mm-hmm. Just bored.
Just bored.
Just bored.
You know, like they put graffiti on trains. Mm-hmm. Who knows?
Yeah, I know. Who knows? Yeah. I mean, it is an isolated area as well, you know, it's... It was about 20 minutes from Scottburn, about, you know, 30, 40 minutes from Margate. So, it's quite an isolated stretch of road that.
How have the police treated this one? Have they followed it up? Have they?
We opened a case at Margate, and I insisted it was attempted murder. Mm. They came to the hospital, they opened the case, took my statements. It was then transferred to Hibernian. And I had a few phone calls, you know, to find out which bridge it was, where it was, you know, what happened. But yeah, that's about it. So nothing concrete from the police.
I mean, can you blame them really, or should they? I mean, what is expected to be done? I think you suggested they should put barricades up on these bridges, but I mean, there's tons of them.
I suggested that billboards should be put up. You know, make this a commercial interest. You know, I've seen you in Joburg on the M1. You know, they've got billboards across those bridges. People should advertise. You know, I know there's a lot of bridges down there, but you know, what else do you do? Also, I think if the police put some resources down, they might be able to find these guys. You know, if they're sitting in those regions, you know, as an undercover, they will know that community knows what's going on.
One would expect the police to go and actually just talk to the community, take some statements. Do you know any kids? Do you know anyone that would have done this? I guess that you just open a docket and that's the end of that.
That's it, yeah.
You know, it's kind of open for insurance purposes and nothing else, unfortunately. Lines, yeah. You got any views on this one?
This is just one of those incidents that actually do happen, especially if you're driving along, like if you go into Limpopo, there's a big bridge where people actually also do similar things. Sometimes actually they put stones in the middle of the road
so that you
don't drive through. It's the moment you get out to remove the stones, that's when they actually pound on you. So I think our listeners should be careful whenever they see something like this. Rather reverse back, go call for help, as opposed to actually doing everything yourself.
Yeah. Don't stop whatever you do.
No, certainly. No, don't. Or rather call for backup or something. Don't get out and try to do things yourself.
Well, that's why Wayne kept going.
Yeah.
I mean, I was worried that he had been shot because of that explosion. But I think keeping going to and driving and putting a bit of distance between was the best option.
This story went viral. There were thousands and thousands of people that reacted to this. I guess it's scary. It was a holiday time. It was the beginning of
second of January.
Now we're entering the holiday season now, and this kind of I'm driving down to KZN in a few days' time. It's a bit scary, isn't it? Mm.
Yeah. Look, I mean, when you go on holiday, you almost want to forget about the crime. You know, you know, we live in Joburg, we live in South Africa, we're always alert. You know, you know, sometimes when you feel like you go on holiday, you actually just want to just relax your mind, which is a bit of a false sense of security because, you know, like, you know, this is where you get targeted, you know, and it's very sad.
I think the fortunate part of all this is it could have landed on Marina and your unborn child, and it didn't touch you, did it?
No, no. Yeah. I mean, we actually had a look at the car afterwards and kind of try to, I don't know, CSI the trajectory of the brick, and you could see that it kind of came through the window, hit Wayne's shoulder, and then actually ricocheted off the side of my chair. Yeah, so it was honestly it was centimeters. It's but what do you do about that kind of randomness? What do it could have been completely different. And I suppose we live. You know, we live mostly in a quite a safe bubble, and now and again a brick comes through, whether that be an actual brick or a disease or like a tragic event, and it just shatters your I suppose your illusion of safety. That and that's really what it is.
I think the lesson to be learned is don't argue in the car and these
things. we were in the hospital, through the night. You know, you sit there and
how long did you spend in hospital?
No, just hours. It felt like days. it was just hours.
No, government hospital.
No, Margaret.
No, it was Margaret Hospital. Yeah. So Wayne had been attended to, but you know, you don't know how emergency services really handle an accident. So for a lot of the time, it's just waiting. Yeah, and I did say to him, you can wash as many towels as you like. It's fine.
you had to have an operation or something. They had to.
Look. I mean, the hospital. I mean, we got there. It was half past 9:34. I think it was. Kind of walked in and like your first priority. You know, you kind of get. You see all the guys sitting in the queue to wait for doctors. You know, you almost don't even go in the queue at all. And the hospital, it was panic. Eh? There was definitely panic stations. They had no real order. I guess it's an emergency, so I'm not blaming anything on the hospital or anything. But I just remember the doctor. I think he was the emergency doctor on call, and I'm not sure. I mean, I don't know his name or anything, but I just remember he was a very big black man. And he took complete control. And he came to me and said, "You've been shot." And I said, "No, I haven't." And he said, no, you've been shot." And he literally stuck his finger in the wound looking for the gun, or for the bullet. Mm. And I said to him, "I haven't been shot." And I realized I'm not going to argue with him. He's clearly in control. Mm. And he just took control. They stabilize you, take x-rays. And then the surgeon came in. I think the operation was at 2 o'clock in the morning, the next morning. Mm-hmm. And he was in his slot.
I hope he didn't come from an office party or something.
Well, I mean, Dr. Reitenbach, I think it was his name. He came in slops and shorts. Yeah. And
that's the way to do it in Margate.
And he was the calmest person in the room.
Yeah.
I was lying on that operating theatre watching the anaesthetist like drop things and, you know, he fumble around and the nurses running around. He was just standing, leaning on the side, you know, just waiting.
If you want to have a look at something very well written, please look at Wayne's Facebook page. Yes? It's Wayne Champion. Yes. Very easy to spell. Have a look at it. You really set it out in detail. You write beautifully. In fact, someone wrote in reply, they said, "So beautifully written, Neil, is it Neil Wilkins? I felt like I was with you. So glad the three of you are safe." Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that was written very soon after that.
Yeah.
Have a look at the page. Interesting.
Just on that writing, you know, it's very it's very funny. I remember, you know, after the hospital event, you know, Marina's brother came down and helped us out. And I was, you know, if it's in my own head, I almost torture myself with the events. So when I was emotional, I wrote that because I always knew that if I ever read it again, it will give me the true feeling of what actually happened.
Mm.
And I made it public because I thought, you know, people need to know this. You know, people need to understand that, you know, these, you know, kind of events can tear apart a family.
Here's something you must have enjoyed. Anthony Hare wrote in. He says he hasn't met you, but he's known Marina for many years and he knows how blissfully happy you make her.
Thanks, Anthony.
There you go. Kudos. Is he right, Marina?
Yes.
What are you guys doing this year? You're flying.
No, we're staying at home.
No, we're staying at home. Oh, we're not going anywhere.
No. Yeah, your 8-month-old baby's fine and everything's fine. Yes, your arm is okay. I mean, can you still...
Look, everything's fine.
Can you still get finance? You guys are in the finance business, aren't you? What's the name of your company?
It's Dahlberg Trade Finance. We do import finance for small businesses. So business as usual.
You can write business with your arm.
Yes, okay. I can. Well, I'm right-handed. So.
Okay. Well, it's been very interesting talking to the two of you. A bit scary. I hope it doesn't put people off. You're going to find that there's going to be a mess that are cancelling their car rentals and going by plane. Not so. Exactly where was this?
It was about 50 minutes outside Scottsboro.
Yeah.
In fact, we went down to the South Coast twice this year.
The same road, same
road. The same road,
yeah. Exactly,
and we rode under those bridges and, you know, we did the stop clock times and realized how long 34 minutes is, you know. So it was just before Hibernian. Yeah, there's some sort of remote areas there that you just got to be careful. Just don't drive at night.
Because when we arrived at the hospital and we said where we'd come from, there was of course. Yeah. That happens all the time. Yeah, which was quite an odd response. I've always wondered at the. On the side of the road you see hijacking hotspot, and I always wondered, what's the point of putting a sign? So I thought, what do people do? Put a sign there going, things might fall out the sky here. Yeah. What do you do? Do you become, like a Mario Brothers driver every time you go under a bridge?
You said something when it got lost in it. You said, don't drive at night. That's something maybe.
Yeah, that's what everyone told us. I mean, even the guys from that region, they said, "Are you crazy? No one drives at night on that road."
Well, you live and learn, and I think we should take heed.
But there's cars on that road at night, so someone drives on those roads.
Lionel Makoko Tlela does.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, he's fearless. Thank you for this, guys. Thank you for coming in. Thank you for choosing Cliff Central. Your first radio interview, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, thank you for choosing us. Many thanks to all of you who've listened to this, and we'll see you again. Cheers for now.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Thanks.
Law, like you've never heard it before. The Laws of Life with Gary Hertzberg on cliffcentral.com.